Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good.
This is rated R.
Make it happen.
Oh, good. Get that music right. How y'all doing tonight? Or this evening, I might say. Welcome to the Movement 720, everybody. Where positive people do positive little things. We got a lot on the table today. We appreciate y'all for calling in. Got a lot of listeners to call in today and give us some time to get on the call. If y'all want to, y'all know what I'm saying? Like, you know, y'all probably want to hear certain music or certain things when the show come on or whatever. You know, I can fix that for y'all. I do a little DJing every now and then on the side. Once again, we appreciate y'all calling. It's a pleasure to have y'all on. Welcome to the Movement 720. Good. We appreciate y'all for calling in. For you new callers, we'll take the J-Line, everybody, to, you know, call in to the show. Give everybody an opportunity to get on before we start. Thank y'all for being patient with us. Thank y'all for calling in. It's a pleasure to have y'all on. Welcome to the Movement 720. Bless all of you. Thank y'all for calling in. We do understand that y'all could have been doing anything other than spending y'all time with us today, so we want to extend our appreciation to the utmost to all of you callers who are tuning in to the show right now. Thank you again. Right now, what we're doing is allowing the callers to call in, so you know we don't want nobody to miss nothing, man. We want to be on the same page. Once again, welcome to the Movement 720. Start the show up in a few seconds, y'all. Again, we appreciate y'all for calling in. This is the Movement 720. Welcome to our Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, OG Bim Bam. And I have my co-host, Queen Tahara, on the show with me today. How you doing, sis?
I'm well, Brother Benjamin. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed to be here. And we got a lot to tackle today. How you feeling? Because I got a lot I want to say. I want to give you a chance to kind of open up.
You know, Benjamin, I'll be brief. I'm feeling very positive about the energy that's out here between our brothers and sisters and queens, gods and goddesses, emperors and empresses, whatever title we go by. As brothers and sisters, I'm seeing a real change in the paradigm and in the narrative and how we're communicating with each other, how much open it seems like we're being with one another, and it's a good energy out here, and it's up to us to seize the time, seize the opportunity, and to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to engage one another, especially when it's about the growth and development of the community. So I'm excited for what the future holds, and I haven't felt this way in quite some time. So I yield.
All good. It's a blessing, man. I feel the same way, just because when you have an opportunity to bring change, it's best to do what it takes to achieve that. And that's what we're striving for. I have a lot to say, and I'm kind of focused on it. That's why I'm kind of like, you know what I'm saying, like lacking an emotion right now, because I really want to get some points made today on the show. We're dealing with the topic of the show today. I want you listeners, for you new callers, to bear with me. I just try to give the flow of the topic of the show before the show starts. This is my way of allowing the listeners to be on the same page and kind of, you know, understand where we're coming from and how we give our topics and how we try to portray an image so that you can see exactly our standpoint on our vision. Today's topic is effort, and the subtopic is, it doesn't take much to make a difference. Again, effort, it doesn't take much to make a difference. I want to say this first. As long as we're divided, we will be conquered. Once again, as long as we are divided, we will be conquered. Effort is a noun, and it's defined as a vigorous or determined attempt. Vigorous meaning like, you know, strong, full of energy, healthy. Again, it's defined as a vigorous or determined attempt. Synonyms for that is to attempt, try, endeavor. But as you dig deeper with the synonyms, you find words like achievement, accomplishment, performance, attainment, results. I want to say something. Great success requires great effort. Again, great success requires great effort. In life, I want to break this effort thing down. In life, you got to realize you're going to make mistakes, right? And through those mistakes, you learn lessons of failure. But how, without those lessons of failure and those mistakes, can you grow? It's really impossible to grow without that. Effort. We have excuses. And I want to talk about distractions in a second. We have excuses dealing with effort a lot. And I also want to say that tired doesn't equal hard work. It's how hard you work after you get tired. That's when the real work starts. Distractions come through any type of effort that we make in life. You know, there's a saying like, you know, every time I try, something always happens. You know, it's kind of cliche nowadays because a lot of people tend to express their their downfalls or their you know, stumbling blocks and things like that. They tend to express it now with social media and things like that because they have the platform to do things like that. But a distraction is a noun also, and it's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Synonyms for distractions are diversions, interruptions, disturbance, and interference. Okay? All right. Any type of way that you're dealing with effort is going to always be a distraction. But if you want to shine like the sun, you got to burn like what? The sun. Problems ain't stop signs, they guidelines. We have to realize, like, no matter what the situation is, the agenda is, effort has to be present. Any type of distraction or excuse or anything like that, you have to find a way to overcome that. That's our responsibility as individuals. I'm making the point about this. Effort was the title of this show for a certain reason. There are some notes I took out of a book by the name of The Blueprint. For those who read that or know what I'm talking about, you may understand what I'm saying, but I want to give a different perspective to what I read. Today's rising lawlessness and youthful unrest represents the birth pains of a new generation speaking out against poverty, racism, and class discrimination. This new generation, they're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being misled and misrepresented in politics, which is a system of empty promises. We don't trust the system for answers to the discontent and lack of prosperity. Reason being, because we're tired of being misrepresented in politics. It takes effort to understand what's going on. It takes effort to teach what's going on. It takes effort to prevent other people from not understanding what's going on. We have to become teachers. We have to show what we know. Everything that we have issues with in life, it can be resolved through effort. We have to take the time to realize that the goals that we have and the agendas that we have to overcome, the only way that we're going to achieve them is effort. Last week we talked about unity. I'm going to make a point in a minute. With unity, you have to have effort behind that. First, you get people to understand what the vision is, and understand what the problem is, and then you unite them. You get people that understand together in unison, have the same understanding that this is not right, this is not fair. You feel me? And then behind that, you have to have effort from those people. Because, like I say, throughout the years, these guys on the inside have been plagued by being prepared, doing everything that they need to do, but lacking the assistance from people on the outside. I want to go further. The vision dictates that we learn the political processes of our community and become involved. I'm speaking about words that are connected to effort, that are involved to the extent of having a voice in our destiny, that we can conduct ourselves in a manner that is compatible to our community, that we frown upon the senseless crimes, I should say crimes, that is rampant in our community, that we establish ourselves in business that is an asset to ourselves as well as to our community. We have to set examples that will make it safe for our youth. Okay. We're dealing with effort. Any type of push, any type of movement that you have, whether it's on the inside or the outside, it takes effort. It takes a vision. It takes people coming together with one sole purpose and one sole goal. Again, those distractions often deter people from accomplishing their goals. We have to find ways to make our efforts more important than the distractions, because something that you place importance on is something that you're going to give the most attention and effort and energy to. Also thought. So, let me go further. We're also here to offer ideal, to strive for instead of dream. We're also here to offer an ideal to strive for instead of a dream to be chased. An ideal requires that a person take on a certain attitude and conduct with particular morals and definite goals and objectives. we're also still dealing with effort here, right? Okay, let me say some more things. You have to reduce the negative and unnecessary aspects of your life. It creates time, space, atmosphere, and opportunities to grow and develop, awakening power of people. Again, unity, effort. The public, for you guys on the inside, they don't view y'all situation as being worthy of any effort of rehabilitation. They don't view it like that. Recidivism wouldn't be the way it is now if they did. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And our purpose is not to destroy each other. It's to build each other. So this effort is going to also, as we know, it's going to start on the inside. It's going to have to start on the inside. We're going to need guys on the inside to continue to push, to continue to tell their family members what's going on, to continue to waken people up on the things that y'all are going through, continue to do your paperwork, buy ARPs, continue to follow all the procedures and exhaust all remedies dealing with those ARPs. Don't let up, because that paper trail is going to be your proof. It's going to be the things that you're going to need to prove everything that they're saying that they're not doing and everything that you're saying that they are doing. It's going to take that effort. So understand that regardless of you having an opportunity to have your voices heard, you still have to continue that push and that effort and motivate guys on the inside to know that with their effort, change is going to come. As far as the community on the outside, your efforts with obtaining this information from these guys, listening to these letters like we do on the show, listening to the things that they do, the phone calls that you make, the emails that you make, the letters that you send out, the visits that you have, all these things pertaining to these guys' situation, your effort is keys to success and overcoming your struggle. You see what I'm saying? It's going to take a unified effort. It's going to take a unified effort to get it done, but it doesn't take much from each individual. It doesn't take much from each individual. That's why I said that the subtopic of the show is it doesn't take much to make a difference. One person doesn't have to do all the work. I want to talk about that too. I think I said that earlier, but I want to talk about that too. When we as a group of people agree upon a certain direction, that direction will have the power of many times the number of people involved, thereby making that particular group of people a power to be reckoned with. One individual will not be recognized as such. Understand that the efforts of many can be a power of a multitude times that. And it takes service. Service is obedience and cooperating jointly with others to achieve goals. It's also being unselfish, being a vessel through which good, and you know, that's like your service, may flow to others. Service is adjacent to effort. It takes service within the community. It takes service wherever you are amongst your people in your community to get things done, to make things happen, to bring about change. And that's what we're seeking. Our overall goal is change, reform. Okay. Everything and everybody serves a purpose. But service can't be forced also. You got to recognize that everybody's not going to be who you want them to be for you. You have to focus on the people that don't understand but are willing to understand, and then give them everything that they need to know to understand, and then acquire their assistance and help. A lot of times we waste time trying to get people to force people to understand things that should be very clear to understand. The things that we put on this show, we allow the listeners to get a real in-depth, you know, visual of what's really going on. And we don't really what you call sugarcoat things. We allow y'all to know exactly what's going on so that y'all can see how severe this is. People are losing their lives behind these walls. These guys are going through things every single day. And it's being hidden. It's being overlooked. And it's not stopped. Therefore, they continue to suffer. So our goal is to awaken people up and get people to understand that their help is needed to stop these things from happening. a statistic is since 2011, 22 states have closed or announced closures of 94 state prisons and juvenile facilities. That's over 48,000 beds now. You hear me? And they saved over $345 million, right? I'm almost through with my point, y'all. The previous 40 years of growth in the penal system, increased rates of incarceration have resulted from changes in policy and practice intent upon increasing the severity of sanctions for criminal offending. The punitive nature of these criminal justice policies was influenced by social, political, economic, and institutional forces that helped to explain why elected officials and prosecutors successfully pursued such initiatives. All right. Effort. I'm gonna pause on unity for a second. Effort. It takes effort for people to go to the voting polls to make the decisions upon the people who they're going to put in office that's going to make the decisions that's going to keep people from going through the things that they go through. Every complaint that we have in America, some kind of way is political. Some kind of way the decisions that we make and the people that we put in office can change those situations that we may have at that time, or issues, I might say. I'd rather say. We have power in our efforts. There's power in voting. If we got off our behinds as individuals and went to the polls and voted, if we got people that we knew could vote, just didn't have a ride, or people that didn't know nothing about it, was confused and just didn't do it, and we helped them, that effort right there could be possibly things that could lead to us getting the right person at home. Phone call, email, visit to MDOC headquarters to find out what's really going on. When people see that people are concerned, they'll be forced to do what they're supposed to do. MDOC has so many different things they've hidden. Recently, I'm going to let the guys talk about this, but recently they've announced some things that they're doing, and it seems like it's all targeted toward keeping guys from letting the public know what's going on the inside. You can't hide genocide. You've had 16 deaths, unknown causes, in a year. We've had multiple incidents where it shows that these people have inadequate management, that MDOC is an inadequate management company. So there's no way around this. But the only problem is the effort from the people on the outside. We need these guys can't, you know, these guys can't walk up to MDOC headquarters and make a complaint. And even when they file their paperwork to make these complaints, guess what? It just gets sent right back down. It gets rejected. And it's not fair. You know what I'm saying? So we're doing everything we can to be a platform so that these guys, for you all, can get assistance. You know what I'm saying? It takes a village, you know. With that being said, Tahira, would you like to elaborate on anything right now? Because I have some more I want to say, but I want to get on with the show and let this first letter get read also. With that, I yield, Laura.
Yes, I unify with everything you said, and you're absolutely right. All it takes is some effort and a willingness. You know, we're seeing a transition happen in the street. Unfortunately, it took for our brother to extent for the peace to
breaking up a little bit. Please, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me? Is that better?
Yeah, you were breaking. It's better now. You were breaking up a little bit.
Okay, I'll make it brief. We're seeing a change in the paradigm in the streets with the brothers who have decided to, do more to get along, to do more to unify, which is our topic from last week. You know, we talked about it's going to take unity in order for us to get out of the struggle. It's just a matter of us making up our minds and deciding that it's worth the investment to be willing to be vulnerable to the process. So with that, I yield back to you, Brother Bim-Bam.
All good, sis. Where you at, Deb? I'm going to put my guy on. We'll get these letters read. How you doing today, fam?
All good. How you doing, fam? How y'all doing today?
All right, good to hear your voice.
Good.
We can hear y'all voice too. Well, as y'all know, today our topic is it doesn't take much to make a difference. And it doesn't. Effort is what it takes. Greetings, society. I greet each of you with the best greeting known to mankind. I greet you with peace, love, and unity. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm here today because I want to enlighten you all that it doesn't take much to make a difference. There's so much wrong with our society today, and often we overlook these things because we believe there is a price attached to any involvement. Truly, there is a steep price for the wrong involvement, but what does it take to be fair, to be kind, to make the right decision in our situation? What does it take to be dedicated, determined, and disciplined, to ensure that every person is treated fairly and humane? Well, let me tell you what it may take. It may take a few minutes of your time to just listen. Why not? Doesn't God always listen to you when you're going through something? He knows that's not much. It may take you to offer up a word of prayer. Did not your elders pray for you? It may take you to make a phone call just to show your support and concern. I'm sure someone has made a phone call for you before. It may take that you stand up for what is right when you see injustice happening. Did not God command this of you? It may take that you march to bring attention to a much-needed situation. Didn't Dr. King ever march so that we all could be treated equal? It may take for you to make a social media post. Isn't that we spend countless hours browsing? To improve the condition in which our justice system and prison system in Mississippi is in, doesn't take much to make a difference. It takes a sincere dedication, determination, and discipline of each citizen as a unified collective whole to ensure that those entrusted with overseeing our institutions or government abide by the laws before them, that each one be in adherence to laws, codes, and ethics and policies that govern the devils they oversee. It takes us as a whole to ensure that they be held accountable to what is fair and right. It takes us to bridge the gap of right or wrong with right to unify people for our righteous cause. It does not take much to make the right difference. I just want to ask that each of you listening tonight understand clearly that it does not take much to treat people, no matter the situation, with decency, integrity, respect, dignity, and humanity. The time is now to make the right choice, to make a right difference. Because I can tell you once again, it doesn't take much to make a difference. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'll let you elaborate, sis. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, that was heartfelt. And I can feel that because I've spoken to brothers and sisters behind enemy lines. But every effort counts. You'd be surprised what phone make when, say, one of our comrades has been, been placed in the hole for no reason, or had their bunk and cell searched for no reason. And there's all kinds of things that go on when our brothers need our help. You know, it's up to us who can to provide that aid and assistance. So, yeah, I'd love to put that in bars beyond bars because we need to get that message out. Clear to the community, and I yield.
Oh, good. We're going to make sure we get that to you, too. We're going to make sure we get that. I liked it, that, man. That was amazing, fam. But, you know, I don't speak no better. That's that guy there. He's an amazing brother, too, fam. Huh? Thank you, Deb. You got y'all listeners, I want to say this, like, it's real. It's very vital that y'all understand that these guys, because watch this, right? I said something earlier, and I want to go back to it real quick. Y'all, excuse me. The public doesn't view your situation as being worthy of efforts to rehabilitate. Okay. The reason why I said that, right, is because there was a situation not too long ago when I was, like, you know, letting people know, you know, like, this is going on with these guys on the inside. We need y'all to kind of be aware of this and, like, be prepared, you know, check into it or give, you know, make a few calls or emails or whatever. Just, you know, help us stand up against this fight, you know. And it was one guy, he was saying some things like, well, if they're in this for this type, then, and they're in there for this type of crime, I can't support it. But if they're in there just for doing this and doing it, I'm like, you know. So I went through the whole thing about, you know, it's not about judging people. It's about understanding that everybody's human beings. And he was stuck on that. You see what I'm saying? And within looking at that whole entire situation, I said to myself, I was like, it's just one individual. You see what I'm saying? This one individual's opinion could possibly influence others, but if you didn't allow this one individual's opinion to take up so much of your time, you can be reaching other people. So that's what I did. I began responding to other people that was more inclined to trying to understand the situation and seeing what they can do to help. And with that time that I spent, I was able to accomplish more. You see what I'm saying? The positive effect of it. I was able to accomplish more and bring more people to the light of what was going on as far as interest and as far as wanting to be active about it. So I want to say that it's true that guys on the inside do have to deal with the judgment of people on the outside, but that's not what we have to worry about. We have to worry about those who understand and those who don't understand that are willing to understand. We have to focus, which is going to be something that we're going to talk about next week also, but I want to say it now. We got to focus on what matters. We got to focus on what makes sense, because the time is now, like Sis said earlier, the time is now to make a stance. The time is now to make a move, because MDOC is slipping. We recently acquired some information on their budget. We're going to be able to talk about that a little bit next week also on the show. But we want to also allow the public to see how these people spend their money, how they waste the money, and how the money that's being spent is not used for the things that they're saying it's being used for. MDOC, like I say, is an inadequate management agency, and it needs to be investigated, because through the things that they do each and every day that are wrong, it affects these inmates' lives. It's not about what a person came to prison for, because like I say on every show, a lot of these guys that's in prison aren't even guilty. They've dealt with illegal justice systems in their counties, in their cities. Like Fitz said last week, we talked about they've either been swapped out, you know, or they've either been mistreated, you know what I'm saying, wrongfully done by their attorneys or whatever. So you can't really judge a person without understanding or knowing their situation, and you have so many of them. So the right thing to do is care about people as human beings, because God is the person that's judge people. You know what I'm saying? That's not our job. Our job is to have service and cooperation and be there for our community and our loved ones. These guys inside are loved ones or family members on the outside. They have kids and parents and wives and things like that, you know, that love them and depend on them and need them. And if you have any type of heart, that would be an understood thing. And I need people to also stress that. Talk to people about that when y'all on the outside. When you talk about this movement and what these guys are going through, make sure you break it down to people in that way, because a lot of people are biased sometimes just off of other people's opinions or things that they don't understand. The time that you take to explain this to them can make a difference. Also, that's effort. With that being said, PB, I want to give you an opportunity listeners to get some more intel. So we're going to bring our brother PB in and let him do his thing. How you doing, brother PB?
I'm all right, bro. I'm all right, Big Ben. I'm all right, man. Let me shine a little, let me bring a little awareness of what's going on. You know, since 95, Truth and Sentence Bill of 85% was signed into law, the rate of recidivism was high, raising high dramatically. The talk around the country is criminal justice reform and prison reform. For years, the country has saw a prison population like no other. 2.1 million of U.S. citizens are incarcerated. People, something is wrong with this picture. Please allow me to introduce you to the modern slaves. Modern slaves now control a private system or corporation. Mississippi has 24,000, incarcerated inmates. That's not those included that are housed in the county jail that are pending charges. Mississippi under MDOC, Christopher Epps, the commissioner, contract a whole lot of these private corporations concerning these prisons, like GEO, Welcome Hut, Correctional Corporation of America, now Management Train Corporation, and also he contacted Fender Commissaries, which is Keefe Commissary, and inmates calling to Global Tales and other companies. He also contracted state prison out of Insections. The state run security and administrative staff, and also was granted a contract with MDOC Medical Division, and for food service it went towards Trinity Service. All these companies was part of a scam that cheated taxpayers out of their hard money, their hard earned money, dollars or taxpayers. Or abuse offenders has done nothing to rehabilitate the inmates in order to where they be more profitable for modern day slavery themselves while incarcerated. So basically, everything that goes on concerning the rehabilitation is not effective, because they have the method that they are using, which is modern day slavery. Basically, just to sum it all up, man, everything that goes on inside of their facility or of MDOC is basically towards the work efforts, making their job easier. Or education and rehabilitation is soon disappearing. They'll disappear because the financial power behind the scenes knew the economical or financial benefits of this slavery. Or the 85% of the truth and sentencing law gave longer sentences and enhancement certain criminal sentences and stiff sentences, meaning that as they pass laws for certain crimes, making it harder for prison to rehabilitate themselves, and also making it harder for prison to, when they does able to rehabilitate themselves, they make it harder for people to see that they can't rehabilitate themselves inside a prison successfully, so they need to be released back in society. But since they are getting paid off these individuals, inmates, they see that it's more beneficial to keep these inmates incarcerated than allow these inmates into society. Then some of these inmates are first time offenders. Some of the inmates are innocent, but dealing with the sentences, the stiff sentences that goes on within the courtroom, they are not getting no leeway. They are not getting any type of leniencies concerning these sentences. And MDOC is basically making a whole lot of money off of incarcerated inmates. A lot of things goes on within MDOC that a lot of people doesn't know. And a lot of people that are incarcerated are crying out to their family, asking their family to make phone calls on their behalf, asking their family to send out emails, asking their family to sign petitions for an effort of prison reform and criminal justice reform, asking their family any way possible that, hey, I need y'all support. Hey, I need y'all help. Hey, could y'all please come and check on me? Now, what MDOC is trying to get slick about, if there's ways to cover up the fact. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to what's been going on the news or whatnot concerning MDOC, but basically MDOC had got a bill passed, 2704, and basically this bill passed is trying to attack the contraband of illegal cell phones that goes on inside of MDOC. Now, the whole efforts of that is to basically tie down or the information that's being leaked into society. Now, the key factor concerning the issue is she just went to the legislative office and tried to get a bill passed concerning the Privacy Act. And basically that act will basically limit all information concerning what's going on with your loved ones. And I ask y'all to be very in tune with MDOC and pay attention to what they have going on, because MDOC are basically hiding all the illegal things concerning inmates as far as their procedure and how they're being treated, and they're looking for ways to cover it up. So we ask y'all that know people that knows people. We ask y'all that are tuned, that have friends that are incarcerated, or that know, that have family and friends that are incarcerated, or that knows anybody that are incarcerated, to reach out to these people that are incarcerated, check on their well-being and how they're being treated, or do not allow MDOC to shield you off away from your family, your loved ones, or your friends, or whatnot. So we ask y'all to come together and pretty much look out for the individuals that are incarcerated. We ask y'all to come together to think about people, because anybody could be in the situation that what the inmates are dealing with in the MDOC. And I pretty much yield right there. Where you at, Ben Bell?
Oh, good, fam. Sis, I want to say something real quick. Let's see, man. Let me make sure I got that. Okay. In MSP, it's two units, Unit 26 and 28. They got guys that go to work every day, right? And these guys work in textile and metal fab. Okay. And from my understanding, this is what they do. They help. They're the guys who make the bunk beds that the guys sleep on, the racks, which are made out of all steel. They make the mattresses that they sleep on. They make the uniform and all clothing that they wear, including socks, boxers, T-shirts, work shirts, the boots, the pants, even the coats, okay? All right. Also, they make different things like the different shelves that go on for the guys to put their TV, like TV stands, just tables for the zones and benches for the zones and different things like that. They do all this stuff. But they also do other stuff around the state with other prisons, right? Okay. These guys work like 7 to 7.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. Okay. Their average monthly check is like $57. It's I think they pay these guys like what, 21 cents an hour or something like that. Okay. That's something I wanted to pinpoint with what this brother just read about and said. Don't you think that's modern day slavery? Because the work that these guys are doing is the grade of work that will be done on the outside in any company or facility where they did this type of work at. MDOC is getting lesser. In other words, they're not having to spend so much money because they're getting the work done themselves through the inmates' efforts. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so if these guys are being used to help you save money, right, why are they getting paid so I'm talking about extremely poorly? You understand what I'm saying? This is something to look into to get these guys better wages also, because that's not fair for them. That's not fair for guys in their 50s, some 60s, 40s, to work those amount of hours but don't get no good pay. You see what I'm saying? These are guys who are welding, sawing, dealing with machinery, heavy lifting, things like that. You know what I'm saying? These guys do this type of work every single day except for the weekend. So, but then we'd be getting paid 21 cents an hour. Imagine that. Just imagine that. You see what I'm saying? With that being said, sis, how do you feel about that?
Well, right now, I'm looking at a website. It's www.mpic.net, and it's the Mississippi Prison Industries Corporation. So comparatively speaking, what they expend and what they spend on salaries is nothing compared to the millions and millions of dollars that not only this corporation but the entire state of Mississippi is benefiting from. So we know nothing else but to call it slavery, you know, because that's exactly what it is. And it's inhumane. It violates the Mandela rules. It violates the rights of prisoners. it violates your human rights. And, you know, make it so bad that the possibility or probability being hired to work in these positions once they're released back into society is practically nil. Humanity, you know, as so-called good as they do out here in the society, behind enemy lines, they've got prisoners working that can't come and work for Habitat for Humanity once they're released. So, you know, there's no other for modernized slavery. And with that, I yield.
Okay, I want to add one more thing to it since I see you getting heated, right? But, you know, that's cool because, you know, that's what we need the people to feel, the same fire. You know what I'm saying? Watch this, though, right? How about, okay, because I just received this. Guys in their mid-50s, close to 60-year-old, right, being housed in the unit where they do this, you know, they work for these people, right? 6 years, 7 years working for these people, and they've got raises. But their current pay rate is 36 cents an hour. So in other words, you work for these people 6-7 years and you've went from 21 cents to 36 cents. You got a 15 cent raise in 6 to 7 years of working, and you still you can't even bring in $100 a month to provide for yourself. Like that's crazy. Like, if you are listening, just imagine. Imagine a person trying to survive off 36 cents an hour. That's
no way.
Crazy. We're going to get with this second letter. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
No, I yield.
All good. I feel you on that too, sis. I got a text from somebody that asked for that website that you gave the last show. Before we go off, I want to make sure that you get that intel to them. It was a website that you gave on the last show. This show. It said this show.
Okay. Yeah, the one I just read, it's www.m, as in Michael, P as in Paul, I as in Isaac, C as in Charles, .net. And it's for the Mississippi Prison Industries Corporation. I do have their phone number. It's 601-969-5760. Yeah, check out the website. And look, I mean, these are industrialized positions. I see, you know, sheet metal being worked with on their cover page for their website. So they're making millions and millions of dollars. There's no way that this is legal or should be accepted by us in society or the brothers and sisters who are forced into this labor. So I yield with that.
Yes, you got guys driving forklifts and like doing real metal fab and you know, this type of work is real serious. These guys like bustle sweat. They do real work, real hard work, and they're older people, and they shouldn't have to settle for wages that low like that. It's really, truly unfair. It's sad to say, for years we talked about how the Hispanics were being treated with pay. But look at this. This is like nowhere near. You know what I'm saying? This is crazy. But we're going to move on. I also want to shout out to Bars Beyond Bars, too. Look, Learn, and Listen. And also MAD. We're going to give y'all a little intel on that throughout our episodes and let y'all know these LLCs and corporations and publishing companies and magazines are about. With that being said, Dev, I want to let you come on and give us letter number two. Carlos, I want y'all to be patient with us. We got some things that we want to discuss with y'all before the show is over with concerning assistance, your effort and your time. Thank you with that. Dev, where you at, fam?
All good. Letter number two. Hey, sister, how you doing? I'm okay. So I'm sitting here thinking about some things concerning prison reform. I look around, I know there are so many things that need to be done, yet nothing is done. I often wonder why. Is it because many don't know what's going on? They don't understand what's going on, so they don't know how to go about making a difference, making a change. But so much that can be done, but it doesn't take much, yet something must be done. About the 17 suspicious period of August of 2018 in MDOC, the ineffective management of MDOC and its privately run prison, something must be done about the inhumane conditions of confinement our brothers are enduring at Mississippi State Penitentiary at Parson, Mississippi. The condemned buildings they are warehoused in, the ever improper training of staff, the contaminated water system, insect infestation, physical abuse of offenders, as well as no rehabilitation. Yet the question the offenders are asking is, what does it take for the side to see and understand that they are, that we are still human and they should be treated as such? It takes those with the knowledge and support to expose this inhumane and corrupt system. It takes courage and sacrifice to stand up and say enough is enough. No longer should our citizens be sold out to this modern-day slavery system in the name of justice, when the system itself is an injustice. It will take those inside to demand the truth of the conditions of this massive corporation and the effects it has on our community. It will take us as a whole to unite and make a difference. Sister, people have to become involved. That's what it takes. Yes, I tell you, that's what it takes, us being united on the forefront to tackle this injustice. I see so much every day, and I can only ask that you reach out and ask the people that you are involved with to help us. That is my word. I will do all that I can when I'm waiting here to make sure that the truth has been known. It doesn't really take that much.
All good, Dale. We appreciate that. We appreciate that, fam. I want to say something. We talked about it. I don't want to seem like I'm overbearing with this, but we have new callers, and we want to make sure that they understand exactly the things that's going on with these guys. On the inside, these guys daily battle with rodent infestation, insect infestation, unclean and unsafe water, where we have proof where these guys, where they were supposed to give these guys a water bar notice and didn't do that. They had them drinking unsafe water for a period of time. Also, the medical services are inadequate. MSP and SMCI, also CMCF, you know, guys can go to medical for a range of things and they only come back with ibuprofen. You have a dentist, I think that's the MSP, that's been there like 30 years, and he's had so many incidents where he's broken guys' teeth off and left the pieces in their mouth, and guys have had infections and things of that nature. You have the doctor that's blind and can't see and uses his assistants, who doesn't have a degree or isn't a doctor, to write prescriptions for him. There's a lot of things they do that is unfair. Certain cells, when it rains, guys have flooded water inside their cell, in the extent of inches of water, flooding inside the cell because there's holes in the roof where the water comes directly into the cell. They're made to stay in those cells until help comes. Also, they're often given excuses where we're short of staff. We'll get you some help when we get somebody over here, which sometimes that's not until the next shift comes. But these same officers that use the excuse of short of staff are always available when it comes to shakedowns. It's like they're more focused on trying to find some type of contraband on these inmates than doing their jobs, than assisting them with the things that they need, like showers, where these guys are supposed to get a shower each day or opportunity to get a shower each day, and they subjected them to getting showers 3 days a week, sometimes less than that. These showers in the unit of 29, you have tiers on the top and the bottom, and there's supposed to be three showers. But in most buildings, like 80% of those buildings, at least only two of those showers work. And you got 40 guys trying to take a shower in an hour's time. You understand what I'm saying? Just imagine that. I joke a lot, y'all, but just, you know, this is a serious thing, right? Imagine you, type of person that loves to take care of yourself, you know? And you got 40 guys, 1 hour. The average human being is going to take 20, 30 minutes at least, you know, taking a shower, right? How can you make 40 guys get in two showers in an hour and everybody be sufficient enough to say that they clean themselves? You gotta understand the situation that they put these guys in. They play games with these guys. You have guys who have committed suicide due to not being able to deal with the things and the pressure that comes along with doing time in these facilities. Guys have been abused. People have been denied their legal right in disciplinary hearings, complaints that they have filed through ARP system. Everything that these guys go through, every way they turn, every way they reach to get help, they're being denied and mistreated by MDOC. So our main objective is to get these people exposed for what they're doing, because they're causing, I call it genocide, sis. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you would like to call it to hire, but I would like to call it genocide, because people are dying. It's to the point that we're now, guys are dying at a mass amount, you know, at a mass level, and it's being overlooked like, oh, it's nothing. Like, you can only have so many, you know, natural causes or unknown causes of death before you start scratching your head like something's not right. And that's what we're asking the public to do. We're asking y'all to realize that something is not right. I can see if there were just, you know, a few little issues, and it seemed like guys were just complaining. No, it's not no situation like that. It's a situation where these things are actually happening. There's proof to all of this. But it's a situation where the proof is hard to get out. As this guy just read earlier, they are making strides and trying to get laws passed to where the media won't be able to even see, you know, situations and things that's going on the inside is going to expose what they're doing wrong. What type of person that is doing right will try to put themselves in a position where nothing that they're doing can be exposed unless they're doing something wrong? You understand what I'm saying? Unless they're doing something wrong. There's so many different things going on with MDOC that had to be exposed. So many things, too many things. But the main thing is lost lives, inhumane treatment, living conditions, inadequate medical treatment, inadequate legal services, and so much more. But we need the listeners to understand that it is very vital, very important that you care, that you understand, that you give effort and service and cooperation with these guys, because they're crying out from behind these walls and they have a real cause. They have a righteous cause. Nobody should be subjected to be treated less than a human being. And with that being said, as always, we want to give an opportunity to the callers to allow them to call in and just ask questions or give their opinion or say anything, you know, that they would like to say or elaborate on the show. With that being said, Tahira, how are you doing?
I'm good, brother. I just want to give out contact information for myself. If anyone may have lost track of their loved one behind enemy lines and need assistance finding them, no matter if they're in the state of Mississippi or any other state, they can reach out to us at Redistribute the Pain and National Freedom and Justice Movement. My phone number is area code 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. My email is tahira@gmail.com, tahira@gmail.com. Reach out to me if you'd like some assistance in finding your loved one. I also want to give out the contact information for the Mississippi Department of Corrections. They have something called constituent services, which I'm sure that's probably a department that callers are going to be transferred to as it relates to inmate-related matters. Their phone number is area code 601-359-5701, 01359-5701, and that's relating to inmate-related matters. There's also a MDOC Central Office Switchboard, Central Information Division, and their phone number is area code 601-359-5600. And if you need any help writing a letter, knowing exactly what to say, if you want to have someone be a buffer between you and, say, directly contacting the Department of Corrections, that's what we're here for, with Redistribute the Pain and the National Freedom and Justice Movement, to be a liaison when our brothers and sisters need them, whether they be on the inside or on the outside. So feel free to reach out to me again, and I yield back to you, Brother Ben Bim. Thank you for that.
Oh, good. It's I'm glad that you mentioned the constituent services. There's a guy that works for MDOC with constituent services by the name of Keith, I think it's either Keith or Kevin Jackson. I think he's like the director of the constituent services. Kevin Jackson. He's been real influential with parents and loved ones who've called to try to get assistance. So if y'all are looking for a direct person without having to go through any type of hassle, you can kind of just, you know, suggest his name and maybe they'll like direct you, they'll direct you to him and he'll assist you with whatever that you may be calling for. With that being said, I want to allow, like I said earlier, some callers to just elaborate what they've heard on the show, offer any advice, assistance, or just anything they would like to say on the show. So with that being said, if you guys would like to press 1 and you would like to speak, press 1. Recently, the last 3 shows, that I haven't seen many people do that, but there have been people saying that they press 1 and they didn't get through. So what I want to do is, like I always do, try to see if I can get some callers online and see what they'd like to elaborate. There's nothing against you if you don't like to or don't want to speak. We understand. Clearly, we thank you for calling and just being a part of the show. We appreciate your time. But if you would like to elaborate anything, your time is now. And with that being said, we're going to try this first number I see here, 215 area code. Hello, caller, 215-605. We don't give your whole number out because that's not right to do, but we try to identify by the first 3 digits of the number to allow you the opportunity to know that we're calling your number and give you a chance to speak. Area code 215-605. Are you here? Can you hear me? That's area code 215-605. Can you hear me, caller? All good. I see another area code right here. It's 404-632. Caller, can you hear me? Yes, area code 404-632. Can you hear me, caller? All good. You know we have some people having a little stage fright. That's understandable also. 731-513. Caller, can you hear me? 731-513. Can you hear me? Area code 731, excuse me. 513. Oh, good. We're going to try one more. Number here for me. 601-508. Caller, can you hear me? 601-508. Caller, can you hear me? Okay, all good. Well, with that being said, if it's anybody that would love to say anything, we do have a number that you can take us on, and we will locate your number on the board and link you into the show to let you give your, you know, opinion or whatever you'd like to say or offer to the show. That number is area code 228-234-2202. Again, the number is area code 228-234-2202. During the show and the broadcast, whenever you guys have anything that y'all would like to elaborate, any questions or anything y'all would like for us to cover on the show pertaining to the show, please text that number. We'll try to get to that immediately or satisfy your question with a response. But also, that'll be our way of letting us know that you guys would like to call in and like to speak. With that being said, sis, I also have some other things I want to give to the listeners today. Okay, we had a situation. Well, a few shows ago, we talked about the suicide attempts, right? Okay, it's common sense. In order for a person to have that type of mind state, psychologically something has to be wrong. Am I correct?
Yes. There was written down somewhere.
Okay. Okay, elaborate with me on this then. Okay. So if you have a guy that's saying, I need help, even with you not being a corrections officer or having experience of being a correction officer, what do you think your immediate response would be if an inmate told you, I'm going to kill myself, I'm having problems, I need some help? What would be your immediate response?
Even as a layperson, my response would be to get them the help that they need. And, you know, we've got so many mental health caseloads in general population that shouldn't be. So it just creates a very hostile environment for people who have mental issues. So I would do the best that I could to get them help. And especially in the capacity of a position, a person in a position of trust, it would be my duty and obligation to get them help.
Okay, now watch this thing, right? So understanding what you just said, in retrospect, imagine hearing an inmate tell an officer this, and the officer's response was, so if you go kill yourself, go ahead and do it. What, you need some help? Do what you need, a sheet? Okay. This inmate, upon hearing those words, hours later, actually hung himself. Okay, now, say the parents call, right? And they say, you know, basically what a mother would probably say, you know, what happened to my son? What happened to my child? I want answers. He's not the type of person to do something like that. Why would he do that? What's going on? And the response that they get is, ma'am, your son hung himself. That's all we have. Okay. In prison, they have something called CID. They have Criminal Investigation Division, right? Okay. They also have a K-9 unit. This CID thing is going to be like, you know, for the listeners that listen, it's like a police, you know, police department, inside police department, detectives, things like that, right? And their job is to perform the same duties as those who will be, you know, in the free world, right? Okay. So upon the incident where an inmate lost his life, they're supposed to be what? An investigation, am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Upon an investigation, if it was done properly, not only they're supposed to get the officer's statement, they're supposed to get the inmates that are on the zone around the incident, am I correct?
That's correct.
So if they got the inmate statement, and this is what the inmates are saying, how is it that the officers that the inmate cried out to for his life before taking his life were not punished no kind of way, not suspended? Mm-hmm. They were not placed in any type of trouble or anything. You follow me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Through research, and then we're going to talk about this on the next show, what I want the listeners to understand is, Christopher Elk was the last commissioner of MDOC, which is the Mississippi Department of Corrections. Okay? All right. The commissioner of the MDOC, Mississippi Department of Corrections. But he was also the president of the ACA. Okay? For people that don't understand what the ACA is, Sis, can you kind of elaborate on that for me real quick?
Yes, it's the complaint authority of the Mississippi Department of Corrections, and it provides training supposedly for staff and personnel.
These people also come through and expect and give these people a passing grade in order for them to continue to operate as a facility or prison each year. Okay, isn't it a conflict of interest for the commissioner to also be the president of the group that goes in and expect his prison system?
It definitely is at least a conflict of interest.
Exactly.
Got to be a conflict of
interest. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Okay, so during this time to Howard, they was constantly passing, but ironically, I think it was last year or year before last, in MSP, their kitchen was shut down due to, like I said before, maggot infestation, right? How is it they passed? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And all this stuff was going on. You follow me? Like
yeah, that's questionable collusion even. That's questionable collusion even. To have the wolf guarding the hen house type of scenario, it sounds like it's playing out there.
So if people were really investigating this stuff like they're supposed to be, that's too much evidence. You see what I'm saying? For MDOC to
mm-hmm.
not been had an investigation by now. So that shows that there's a bigger picture. I'm getting to the point right now. I'm making sense. It's a bigger picture because it has to be more of a political thing for people to be able to be in this type of position, because you got to understand this deals with the government, right? MDOC is a government agency. They have a corrections committee also that deals strictly with the representatives on getting things done for this agency, and they also have to get bills passed, such like the one the commissioner just tried to get passed with the cell phone. So if these things are going on like this, and it's in black and white, right, and you got people constantly complaining about this, why all these other prisons all over America has been exposed, but this stuff has been going on with this one prison alone, MSP, for over 100 and some years, and nothing has been done besides one camp getting shut down?
If the thing mm-hmm. is, though, Brother Bim Bim, if that one camp can get shut down, so can a whole lot of the other ones. And it's not been that long ago, so the momentum is still out there. We just got to keep exposing them every opportunity that we get. And for every complaint that's filed by an inmate, there should be two copies made, one sent to an outside source. There's all kinds of things that we need to be doing to make sure that they know that we watching them. Like, and wherever we can find our allies, no matter what, you know, they might be good at, let them do what they're good at. You know, if they're good at making phone calls, hey, we need y'all to make phone calls. If you're good at writing letters, we need you to write letters. If you're good at writing emails, we need you to write emails. But everybody can be doing something, even if it's only a little bit, because every effort counts. And so, I yield back to you, Brother Ben. And we got to take our power back.
We got to, sis, because it's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, I got somebody calling me real quick or texting me real quick. It's amazing that this stuff has been going on for so long and nothing's been done about it. And
mm-hmm.
it's going to take consolidated efforts of people on the outside, you know, people with hearts, people who care, to understand that, like, this is something that it really is a bad look on the state itself for this type of stuff to be going on and nothing being done. Mm-hmm. Each state has this progressive plan for their citizens within that state. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we're going to make Mississippi great again. We're going to make, you know, Ohio great again or whatever, you know. And these are the politicians who we put in position to do these things. You know what I'm saying?
That's
these
right.
Whole all these mission statements and stuff like this come from. So, like, why are there so many problems within one entity? Like, just one thing, and it's just a prison system. To the point to where it's like a major issue, a state of emergency, because anytime you have guys catching cancer, understand what I'm saying? Listen, you have guys catching cancer, 25, 26 years old, complete healthy before they were diagnosed, right? Okay, come to prison, was athletes in high school, maybe went to junior college a year or two, got in a little trouble, got 5 or 6 years or something like that, right? Okay, within your third year of doing time, you're diagnosed with cancer. You understand what I'm saying? This person might not be
yeah.
somebody that doesn't even smoke. MDOC has cases like this. MDOC has cases where guys that supposedly went to surgery or went to the doctor for one thing and ended up being diagnosed for something else and was misgiving the wrong medication, and this inflamed this, you know, and it's a domino effect, you know, to a person just so ill so they just can't be fixed. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy to the point where it seems like they're testing these guys. They're using these guys as like guinea pigs because
mm-hmm.
some things are common sense. I have a report right here I was looking at about a guy came in and his blood pressure was high. Another guy in the same instance came in and had an abscess on his mouth, right? Okay, we all know, for one, when you have an abscess on your mouth, you have to allow what? The swelling to go down, the infection to go down before you can cut or do anything like that, right? Okay. The older people say you don't supposed to swallow and stuff like that because it got poison. Y'all probably heard that before. Then again, I might be too country for y'all, but when you got high blood pressure, you're not supposed to cut on a person. These people are actually, like, cutting on people while their blood pressure is, like, high. I think it was exactly what they said it was, 150-something over 109. That's crazy. But if you were properly trained, you would know this. You would know better. You understand what I'm saying? So what would make a person forget their training or do something like that that's detrimental to somebody's health if they care? It goes back to the post that was made on Facebook a few weeks ago, what this officer was saying on the Feeling Cute Challenge, where she was saying, like, I might go shake your homeboy's cell down today and step on all his noodles. These officers are not just inadequate working here the way they're being trained. Because if you train a person to know better, they're supposed to do better. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just not on the individuals that are doing this. It's on the individuals that are responsible for training these people and letting them know before they work their first day within this company on how to treat these guys like human beings. The officers that work within this prison system are correctional officers. Their job is security and to help these guys rehabilitate themselves, not create monsters to the point of where these guys are feeling vindictive or feeling like there's no hope, to the point of where they become the opposite of positive, productive citizens. They're not allowing them to be educated. They're not allowing them to have opportunities to better themselves, grooming. They don't allow these guys to get haircuts, showers. They don't allow these guys to hardly get showers. The phone calls, they recently reduced the prices on the phone calls to kind of help these guys out with the phone calls, but that was something they should have done years ago. And in most instances, when you check in Unit 29, the phones rarely work. The commissary is playing with. The prices are too high. They put these guys on lockdown for months at a time because, listen to this, Sahara, two individuals get into an altercation. So two individuals get into an altercation. You put 8 to 10, I think it's 10 buildings on lockdown for 3-4 months at a time. No commissary, no yard, no anything but shower. Until the warden lifts it. And they always blame it on MDOC headquarters, but the warden is the one that comes around and lifts the lockdown. My thing is, they have no sense of understanding on even how to discipline these guys. So it's like the whole entire management company of MDOC should be shut down or at least investigated to where they put people in place that know what they're doing. This is a company who just had a commissioner who is now serving federal time. If he was serving federal time, and I say it again, say something, sis.
No, I was just acknowledging what you just said about him doing bedtime now.
Oh, all good, all good. If this man is doing federal time right now for illegalities, you know what I'm saying, just doing the wrong thing, and some of these same things, even more of these same things, are happening right now, that means the system still didn't get it right. You understand what I'm saying? This is like you, the commissioner, this is the guy who's over the Mississippi Department of Corrections, doing federal time for his behavior and his actions in his title were working for MDOC. But the same conditions, the same issues, the same problems still exist within MDOC right now. So that means they missed out on something. If something's been overlooked, further need for an investigation, and that's what we're pushing for. That's what we're pushing for. With that being said, I want to extend My thanks to those on the outside who called in, those who've allowed the guys on the inside to call in and be a part of the show today. I appreciate you guys. But before we close, Tahira, I wanted to ask Dale to come back on. I wanted to do something real quick. Dale, how you doing, fam?
What's good, Mr. Ben Dale?
All right. We got some people listening in, and it's people that haven't been on the show before because I'm seeing new numbers. I want to do something real quick before we close the show today. A lot of times you might get out what you're trying to get out, but it seems like you need a little bit more. In your take, you know, with your take with this movement within itself, if you were given a few minutes to give the listeners your take on what needs to be done on the aspect of those on the outside, what is it you would say? What would you say to the listeners that's listening right now on what needs to be done as far as helping bring about change within this penal system?
My take on that would be for those on the outside is to first listen. Listen. That way you can get an insight kind of what's going on the inside. You know what I'm saying? And once you kind of get an insight what's going on, it's going to take people to take these things to the media, you know, to the newspaper articles, you know what I'm saying? It's going to take these people to go to the ethics commission, these different type of places. It's going to take for them to request these things and investigate and look into. Because first and foremost, guys are incarcerated, and the price of them being incarcerated is paid with the taxpayer dollars. So if these people's dollars are not being put to work, then what are they paying them for? You know, you pay for a system that's supposed to rehabilitate guys once they're in this system. But if these guys are in this system, they're not being rehabilitated. They're coming out in worse states than they were in before they came in. The recidivism, as Mr. P.B. Stubbs spoke late earlier, the recidivism rate is at an all-time high. And it's due to the fact that what's going on in the institution, that they have been privatized. And with the privatized prison, it become a modern-day slave plantation, not just for blacks, for all those that are incarcerated. And guys are just being warehoused. There's nothing going on. So when they go back to society, they become what they call institutionalized, to where you train in a certain pattern to where you become semi-useless. You know, getting up, walking to the dining hall, coming back, laying in your rack all day, being in your cell, no work, no activity, no I'm functioning with the outside, not being abreast of what's going on. It tends to make us lazy. So when these guys go back out here, they in some situations they're not able to get jobs, not fit to get jobs because the prison institutionalized. So what does it lead them back to? Lead them back to recidivism, back to prison, back to crime. So my thing is this: for the people on the outside, get involved, get active. You know what I'm saying? Because what goes on behind these walls affects your community. It affects your community because these guys behind these walls are some of the same guys that come from your community. It's going to return to your community. But when they come back, you want them better. You don't want them still away just for some sort of punishment. And when they come back, hey, they even worse. So, you know, we got to get involved. We got to make these phone calls. We got to get in touch with these state representatives, these senators. We got to participate in these rallies. You know what I'm saying? We got to do everything in our power, you know, on the outside to make sure that you get the help that's needed on the inside. And with that being said, Mr. Bim, I yield the floor. Thank you, sir.
All good, all good. I love that. I love that, man. Tahira, is there anything you'd like to add to what brother just said?
Yes. You know, we got to take our power back. It's just as simple as that. And any aid and assistance we can give here on the outside, we should be willing to give. So I'm all on board. I know I got a couple of comrades that are listening, new listeners to the broadcast. We appreciate you calling in tonight. But united we stand, and divided we gonna continue to fall. And with that, I yield.
All good, all good. I want to extend my gratitude for those callers that called in. We really appreciate you. Every ear counts. Every ear counts, man. With that being said, I want to say this before we close out. We started this show like 2 years ago. We made a lot of strides. We got attention. But as far as we made it, this year we have the same objective, but we have a different outlook. And the outlook is, if we can only find a few people on the outside that care, a few people on the outside that know people that care, if we can continue that trend, we'll have enough people to get done what needs to be done. And that's the truth told, MDOC, Mississippi Department of Corrections, exposed, and these guys better treatment than what they're receiving. This also extends to prison citizens, because you have a lot of guys in this system who have really truly been messed over. Like, looking at their cases, and you wouldn't understand how they even got incarcerated. There's a lot of stuff going on with MDOC, with Mississippi, dealing with the judicial system, you know, recidivism with his penal system back and forth, because they don't, like this brother just said, they don't allow them to rehabilitate. So all they're doing is creating and breeding monsters. That's all MDOC is doing. They're not allowing these guys the opportunity to better themselves and accomplish goals so that when they get out, they can be a positive, productive person in society. And you got to understand, this is a market, people. This is a market, this prison system. People get paid off of this. These politicians and things, they get paid off of things that go on within MDOC. You just have to dig deep. And as we continue with this show, some of y'all might, you know, be shocked by hearing it. Some of y'all might just say, hey, you know, I don't put nothing past them. But there's going to be some things that we're going to continue to reveal about what goes on in this state, in this penal system with these guys, and how people are so underhanded and conniving to where it looks like one thing to the public, but in reality, it's deeper and it's bigger and it's worse. We just ask that y'all care. This show, we don't get anything from this show. We get the gratitude and the satisfaction of guys saying thank you, parents saying thank you, loved ones saying thank you, for caring about their people on the inside enough to give them a platform to let their voices be heard. We do it as service. We do it as cooperation. We do it for unity. And we give our efforts so that the Movement 720 would be what it was created to be. And we believe that positive, productive people do positive, productive things. We just want everybody to understand that if we came together, if we had understanding, if we cared enough to realize that it could easily be you, that everybody deserves to be treated like a human being, we can bring about change. Those things are not something that's hard to ask for or to accomplish. We just got to believe, and we got to put our actions where our mouths are. You people on the outside who called in, we appreciate y'all. We thank y'all. We thank y'all for having the heart and time and patience to even have the opportunity to be on this show today and listen in. It gets really deeper than this, but we wanted to explain effort today. We wanted to explain that if we got effort from people on the outside and those on the inside, combined fashion, that we can go and get this ball rolling. This movement is real. These guys need assistance in a matter of, I want to say, a mass form. I'm not going to say thousands of people, because, you know, it takes a few people to start a fire. But what I've noticed throughout the years with MDOC, when a multitude of people complain, when there's a multitude of different things going on directed toward what they're doing wrong, things start to change. They did it in Alabama. It was done in South Carolina. Louisiana even had some changes. We're trying to bring reform to the prison system in the state of Mississippi. And with that being said, we love y'all. We thank y'all for y'all time. We appreciate y'all. This has been the Movement 720. I'm your host, OG Bim Bim. My co-host, Tahira Queen. Tahira, we appreciate you, sis. And that's the end of our show. All the time. Thank you, guys.
See everybody next week, everybody. Salute.
All good. Shout out to Look, Learn, and Listen, y'all. Shout out to MAD. We appreciate y'all. Bars Beyond Bars, y'all. Check it out. Amazon. Kabuka Ink Pups. Y'all check them out. Movement 720. Love y'all. Thank you.